All right. Good morning. Wow. Our church service moved to like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so it's like hard for me to transition to good morning again. But it's good to worship in the morning. You guys don't know how lucky you are, because if you think about it, next week or Super Bowl, and we have service at 4, it's like we have issues. Let me get to know you guys a little bit better. And how many of you guys are like middle school, junior high? You can raise your hand. All right, just a couple. All right, high school. Just want to have an idea of who I'm talking to. All right, and college. How many college people? Okay, all in the back. All right, and above college and beyond. All right, not bad. All right, how many of you have trouble raising your hand at all? Just kidding. I don't know why, but some people have a hard time with that. I get to know you a little bit because I can, like, look at your website. I met Pastor Joe, and, you know, I listened to a couple sermons. Do you guys have any questions about me? Because it's always weird when, like, some strange guy from off the street you've never met before just, like, gives you a sermon. Anyone have any questions? Giving you the opportunity to ask anything you want about me. I'm not from the Bay Area. I grew up around Chicagoland. I moved out here about 10 years ago, and this place is still strange. It's a weird place. It's like, it should be its own country. That's me and my wife's opinion. I'm married. This place should be its own country. It's like so diverse and strange. Any other things? Anything else you want to know about me? I'm married with a dog. The dog has health insurance and is very well cared for, thanks to my wife. No kids yet, though. Anything else? Anything else you want to know? Yes? What's your favorite flavor ice cream? Usually vanilla. Right, and the reason being vanilla is because that's like the baseline where you can test all other ice creams against. So I usually like to start there when I'm going somewhere new and then explore other flavors. All right, when I get into other flavors, I always love chocolate peanut butter, dark chocolate peanut butter. And that's where I like to go. I don't know. It's rich. It's bad for you. It's everything you shouldn't do. All right. Anything else? Last chance? All right. Let me go ahead and read this passage then, and we'll get into the Word. All right. We're going to read from Galatians chapter 6, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. All right. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. This is what it says. It says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he has nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load." All right, can we pray one more time? Lord, we thank you so much that we can come into your word, this gift that you've given us that cleanses our soul, transforms our lives. And Lord, as we look into it and see our own hearts or see our own struggles, would you wash us, pick us up, and show us your way and teach us to live as lights in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let me start with a short, funny story. Okay, once upon a time, there was a men's group, and there were four men, and they were sharing, and, you know, they had been meeting together for a long time, and it got to the point where, you know, they were sharing, like, very deep, intimate secrets, right? And they're sharing their deepest sins. And so the first man, he begins to share, and he says, "You know what? My whole life, I've had a gambling problem. And, you know, I've hidden it from so many people, but I just can't stop." So, you know, all the people pray for him, talk about it. The second guy goes, and he says, "I have this problem with lying. I'm a compulsive liar. It's like I always need to just make sure everyone sees me as good, and I just lie about myself all the time." All right, so more talking. All right, the third guy goes, and he goes, "You guys might not know this about me, but I have this deep problem with stealing. It's like, I don't know why, but, you know, even if I go to my friend's house, I always have to take something before I leave. And I'm always stealing." And so these guys go on sharing, and, you know, the final guy goes, and he goes, "I have a problem, and my struggle is with gossip." Okay. If you don't get why that's funny, it's because he's going to share with everyone later. Okay, and if you still don't get it, ask someone next to you. All right, it doesn't take much to divide us. All right, I've learned that. I've been on this earth for like 40-some years, and it doesn't take much to divide us. Right, you know, simple, a couple of words can break a relationship. When I was growing up, I grew up in a church. You know, it was mostly a Korean church, and my mom, the church eventually split, and one of the things my mom said to me was, I've been friends with these people for 40, 50 years, and all of a sudden we're enemies. Right? It's crazy. It's crazy. And it was over the silliest things. Right? And it doesn't take much to divide us. So I want to use this morning to talk a little bit about unity. Okay, because when I talk to a new group of people that, you know, maybe I'll never see your faces again, I want to give you something that, you know, hopefully will be useful to you for the rest of your life. Okay, because we're relational people by nature, right? And we're always coming in and out of relationships. And one of the things that always happens is, you know, just the struggle of staying together. All right, so one of the interesting things about unity, maybe it's not interesting, is it's almost universally a positive idea. Okay, we can, you know, if I polled this church, I said, how many of you guys want to be more unified? Like, hopefully everyone in the church would raise their hand, right? I could, you know, walk down the street, go to the Jehovah's Witness church, temple. How many of you guys want to be unified? You know, everyone would raise their hand. I could go to your workplace, Google, Facebook, whatever. How many of you guys want to be unified? Company, everyone, raise their hands. Okay, I could go to, you know, any place, anywhere in the city and say, how many of you guys want unity? Everyone raises their hand, right? Right? In any context, the answer is almost always yes. Almost always. Right? And this should be especially true in the church. Right? We should be like the first, the people on the front edge all the time of unity. We should be the best at it. When anyone looks at the church, we should be just known for our unity. I mean, that would make sense to me. That would make sense to me. And even though it's this universal idea that everyone wants, it's weird because this is always a topic of tension. You know, what I mean by that is my junior high, middle school kids, do you still do tug of war? Are you allowed to do that, or is that like politically incorrect now? No, you guys are shaking your head, okay? Let me explain it to you because you might not know what it is. All us old people, we used to do this politically incorrect thing called tug of war. Right? And what it is there's a long rope and you have two teams, right? And both teams pull as hard as you can, and then you want like this mark in the middle of the rope to go one way or the other. And if it goes a certain distance, then the team that pulled the hardest wins. Okay? So when we're talking about unity, okay, there's this one side of unity where everybody wants it, okay? But for some reason, even though everybody wants unity, there's something that always pulls the opposite way and splits us apart. It's kind of interesting, right? Like, why is that? Why is that? Like, everybody wants it, but it's so hard to get it. It's so hard to get it. All right, so let's look in the Word, and let's see. Let's see what's going on here. Let's figure out a little bit more about what we have going on. All right, so verse 1. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, let me just stop there. All right, so I think it's important to notice that it says brothers. Okay, so the direct context of this verse or this passage is talking to Christians. Okay, Christians. So when we're looking at this and exploring how do we get this unity, how do we resolve conflict, okay, this passage is specifically talking about Christians. Okay, but I think it can apply to just about anyone. But we'll start there. Okay, we'll start there. All right, if anyone is caught in any transgression, and of course, transgression isn't a word that we use so often today, right? So maybe for some of you younger ones, or maybe just, people that might not know, all right, transgression is sin. Sin or wrongdoing or an offense. All right, so if anyone is caught in any sin, any wrongdoing, any offense. Okay, and let me explore some of the words in this sentence. Right, the word caught, right, when I was thinking about that, I don't know. I've been caught doing some things like, you know, I've been caught speeding, and I was going down this small country road, and then there was like a police officer that went one way and I was going the other way, and I was going slow, right? And I was in the middle of nowhere, There isn't a house in like 100 yards from me. There's like nothing out there. And so I was like, one cop passes me, I'm good to go, right? I can put the pedal to the metal and get to where I'm going. All right, so I do that, and then there's another cop. It's like, what is this? Right? And whenever you get caught doing something, whether it's speeding or lying or cheating on your test or whatever it might have been, you get this sinking feeling, right? Like all of a sudden it's just like, oh, everything turns black and white and gray and dark, right? But when you get caught, like especially in relationships, what an opportunity for division, right? What an opportunity to create some separation between ourselves. Right? Regardless of whether you're on the catching side or you caught the other person, right? We could look down on them, we could berate them, or get angry at them, or whether we're on the caught side, we can feel we can hide away, we can run away, right? And all these things happen, right? And so if anyone is caught in any transgression, and any is a very small word, right? But any covers a very wide range of sins, right? Everything from who stole the cookie from the cookie jar is any sin, to lies, to lust, to greed, to all different kinds of idolatries. Any covers all these words. And one of the problems with sin is that sin happens all the time, right? It's not just a one-time thing. Right? Wrongs have happened, they do happen, and they will continue to happen. Right? You've done it, I've done it, and we'll all do it again. Right? And this is the tension that continues to pull against unity. This sin, this pride, this selfishness, our own desires. Right? And this is the battlefield that encompasses every area of life. Right? Within the church, there's this battlefield. Within our marriages, within our friendships, at our schools, at our workplaces, right? This sin is constantly happening, which constantly seeks to divide us, right, and separate us from each other. All right, so the question in the first half of this verse asks, so what are you going to do when this happens? Right? What are you going to do? What are you going to do, church, when this happens? What are you going to do when you're driving home from church and someone cuts you off on the road? Learn how to drive! Right? What are you going to do when you find out that someone's been talking behind your back? What are you going to do when your husband or your wife fails you? What are you going to do when your best friend fails you? What do you do? It's a good question, right? All right, so let's look at the word, because there's the answers in there. All right, so how do we respond? All right, in writing this, all right, Paul, he kind of jumps back and forth from do this and don't do this. Do this and don't do this, okay? And that's kind of like, whoa, for my brain, so it's like, let's just do one at a time, okay? We'll cover all the do this, all right? This is how we pull towards unity, and then we'll cover all the don't do this, okay? Otherwise, you're sinning and you're doing the wrong thing. All right, so instructions, this is how we pull. All right, this is how we pull. All right, so back to our verse 1. All right, it says, if anyone's caught in any transgression, all right, here's our answer. You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Okay, key word here is gentleness. Gentle, gentle. All right, as opposed to with anger or judgment or bitterness. All right, for the Christian, gentleness is the default mode of operation. All right, this is our default mode of operation. Yeah, let me give you a parallel example so we can understand this better. All right, let's say I'm up here preaching, and then all of a sudden you're like, and you smell smoke, right? You turn around, and there's a smoke billowing from the back, and there's this big fire, right? What are we supposed to do? All right, we're supposed to, like they teach you in wherever, I don't know where they teach us this, but they teach us, remain calm. Look for the nearest exit and proceed through the door, in walking towards the door, right? Something like along those lines, right? That's what they tell you. Remain calm, right? Because the reason that they need to teach you this is because the default mode of operation for everyone is to panic and run and scream and push everyone out of the way, right? And every man for themselves, women and children last. Get out of my way. I'm getting out the door. Right? Isn't that weird that that's like the default mode of operation? You hear of like the stories of like the movie theaters and people trample each other to death trying to get away from a fire. People are weird. Right? But if we just all relax, stay calm, single file line, walk out the door, most likely we'll all be okay. Okay? And this is the same with how we deal with sin. Okay? The default mode of operation, the way we usually are, humans are wired for some reason because of sin, is to get angry, to get judgmental, to be bitter, to get back at that person. Okay? And that's the way people are. Why did that person say that about me? How could they? We've been friends for so long. I can't believe this. Right? Separation. Okay, but Paul here is teaching us a different way. Jesus taught us a different way. And he's telling you, right, the way the Christian operates is not anger, but is gentleness. Is gentleness. Right? This is our attitude. This is how we pull. Right? And I don't know, when I think about the word attitude, I often think about, you know, this is something that we need to learn in advance and prepare for in advance. Like, attitude isn't something we can, like, just jump into and situationally will take care of itself. And we need to prepare, right? And think, the next time I'm in this situation, I'm going to be gentle. Right? And you got to teach yourself that before you get into the situation. Because once you're in the situation, it's too hard. It's too late. All right? So let's help each other. Tell the person next to you, be gentle. Be gentle. Let's remind each other. Be gentle. Be gentle. All right. Very good. Very good. You guys are good at this. I'm proud of you. All right. Pat yourself on the back. All right. This is your attitude, and this is how you need to pull. If you're not pulling, if you're not using gentleness in your daily situations, all right, you're pulling for the wrong team. All right. You're going the wrong way. All right. I'll throw in here, okay, whenever we're dealing with relational situation, it requires wisdom, okay, and this is one example in one section of the Bible talking about how to resolve a relationship, okay, and it takes, and it requires wisdom to use, there are times, obviously, where we need to be stern, right, there's times, obviously, where we need to have a holy anger, or, you know, and, but here, in most situations, okay, gentleness is the first and correct answer that we should go towards. Okay, so just leaving that out there. Okay, but verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, bear one another's burdens. All right, think about the people that are like, right? I don't know. You probably think of someone in your life that you're like, okay, but you got to bear that person's burdens with them. Which is, again, it's different. It's easy to say, that's not my problem. It's easy to say, that person got themselves into their own mess. Like, why should I be there to help them clean it up? Right? It's easy to rationalize why we shouldn't bear that other person's burden or help them with their problem. It's easy. And you know what? I bet you 99% of your rationalization is 100% correct. Does that even make sense? 99, 100? I don't know. But 99% chance that 100% you're correct in your rationalization. You shouldn't help that person. They did screw up themselves. They did make their own mess. They should sleep in the bed that they made. Right? But this isn't what the Bible teaches us. Right? Bear the sins together. All right, when I was growing up in college, I was part of a fraternity. Okay, I don't know why I ended up in there, but I did. Okay, but one of the things about this fraternity is the brothers, they had like this kind of unwritten rule. And they would tell everyone entering the fraternity, in our fraternity, we back each other up no matter what. Okay, you could be fighting with anyone else in the fraternity. You could hate their guts. They could have stolen your girlfriend. Anything could have happened. But if they get in a fight, we're all going in together. I was like, that's like better than the church. It's like, no wonder people like seek these things and flock to them and get so engaged in it. Right? Can the church do better? Can we do better? It's like, no matter what happens, we're going to be there next to each other and help each other through our burdens. Right? That fraternity was more biblical than some churches. All right? But number one, gentleness. Number two, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. This is how we pull. This is how we gain unity. This is how we fix our relationships. All right? So what do we not do? How do we not pull? How do we not play for the other team? All right, number one, keep watch on yourself. Keep watch on yourself. Okay, from verse 1, it says, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Okay, lest you too be tempted. And again, as we've been talking about, there's a lot of temptations when someone sins against us or something bad happens. Again, we have the temptation to lash out against that person. We have the temptation to separate ourselves from that person. We have the temptation to talk about that person. Oh, did you hear what Bob did the other day? Oh my gosh. All right, let me just tell you a little bit about this. All right, we have the temptation to be proud. It's like, oh man, I'm so much better than that person. It's like, I can't believe that person did that. Like, a real Christian wouldn't have done that. And I'm glad I'm not like that. Okay, there's all kinds of temptations that we need to keep watch over ourselves. Right, and there's so many pitfalls and traps to when we see someone and catch someone doing something wrong. Right, number two, verse 3. Right, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Okay, let me keep reading. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be himself alone and not in his neighbor. Okay, so don't deceive yourself thinking you're something when you're nothing. Right, if you think you're a really good believer, I'm a really good Christian, right, but do not do this. You don't act with gentleness. You don't bear one another's burdens. Right? The Bible says you are nothing. Right? You're nothing. And if you're curious about the law of Christ, I think the law that it's talking about, John 13, where Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. Love one another. Right? How obvious is that? Right? If you think you're a believer and you don't love, then you're nothing. You're nothing. Right? If there was a small fire in the church, again, like in the back, right, and you saw it, and then you're like, okay, I'm going to remain calm, just like Pastor Joe said. I'm going to stand up, and that fire looks a little bit small, though. I'm going to throw some more stuff in there. Or, give me some Bibles. I'm going to make the fire a little bit bigger. Right? Would you do that? Like, does that even make sense? Like, the church is burning down, and you're, like, feeding the fire? Like, that makes no sense, right? Like, conceptually, you're like, that's just so ridiculous. Like, why are you even telling me this? Okay, but the reason I'm telling you this is because we do this all the time in our relationships, right? Our relationships are on fire. We fought with our boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, mom, dad, best friend. Someone beats you in Smash Brothers, and you're like, no! Right, and what do? You throw more fire. You throw more books. You throw more wood into the fire, and you make it worse. Why? I don't know. People are weird. I don't get it. Okay, but this is what we do. Okay, and the Bible's telling us, you guys are nuts. There's a better way. All right. So there's a tug of war. Right? And this tug of war is won through gentleness, love, and a careful watch over ourselves. Okay? And let me kind of throw a wrench into your thinking. Okay? So far, good sermon, hopefully. Good Bible study. Right, we're looking at it. Pretty simple message. Right, but let me throw a wrench in here. Okay? The problem with this sermon so far is, do you realize that just like we were talking about before, I could go into any church, any service, at any religion, and preach this exact same message up to this point so far? Hey! You guys want to be unified? Stop fighting. Be gentle with each other. Love one another. You know? Inspect your own heart. Right? I could go into a Mormon temple, Jehovah's Witness. I could go into a Buddhist. Same thing. All right? So, why are, what, like, how do we do this that's different than all these other places? What's the difference between the church and all these different other organizations and religions? Glad you asked. All right, so here we go. Jesus empowers us to be able to love one another, to cross barriers, to pull for unity in a way that is unlike any other organization. Right? And the best way that I can explain this, maybe it's a good way, is think about it like this. Okay, so let me give you this illustration. All right, if you have your wallet, right, and a lot of us don't carry around cash anymore. You guys have like your Apple Watches and you just pay, and it's really awkward and takes a long time. But my wife always does it, and I'm just like standing there watching her. I'm like, okay, cash is faster, but we'll just let her struggle through this. And they're like, it turned off. Okay, but anyways, right, if you have your wallet, okay, and let's say after church service is over, you guys are all blessed, we're all having a good time. Hey, let's go to Alexander Steakhouse, right? Let's get us some steak, right? Good word, good steak. What a way to finish the day, right? So we're all there, and we're all eating. We're all having a good time, right? And then all of a sudden, the person next to you is like, you know what? I forgot my wallet. Oh, no. And you look over, and you see what they ate, and they're like, they ordered the Wagyu steak. Dry aged, they had like those hibachi shots or whatever they call it. They had like appetizers and they ordered a drink, like even a Coke there costs like $5. It's like, all right, so take a look at the person next to you. Would you pay for them? Would you pay for them? Person next to you, would you pay for them? All right, so the way this calculation goes is if the person next to you happens to be your husband and your wife, you have to pay for them. Right, you have no choice. There's no calculation. It's game over. All right, if the person next to you is your girlfriend, then you're like, All right. But if the person next to you is a stranger, or maybe, you know, just a casual acquaintance, or just someone you kind of recognize in the church, there's all these things that got to go in your mind. You got to, you know, calculate, you know, who is this person? How long have I known them? Did they give me a birthday present? You know, like, we do all this math in our mind of, like, who this person is and how much they're worth to you and whether or not they're worth the, you know, $200 they spent at that meal. Okay? And I find that a lot of times, almost all the time, right, we spend grace the same way that we spend money. Okay, we spend grace the same way we spend money. Okay, in this economy of works, okay, when we're talking about our wallet and money and thinking about the person next to us, you know, we do all these calculations. Are they worth it? What have they done for me? Who are they? What's the relationship? Okay. And with grace, when we're talking about forgiving, restoring, bringing a person back to, you know, fellowship, we do the exact same thing. It's crazy. We're weird. Right. But, you know, this person sinned against me. Who are they? What's the relationship to me? What have they done for me lately? Are they worth it? Are they worth my time and effort? And we calculate and we count the cost. And sometimes the answer is no. And we let that relationship fall. Right? Sometimes the answer is yes, and we pay out the grace, right? When we become children of God, our mind should be radically transformed, right? This transformation happens because we were in the greatest transgression. We were in the greatest sin before God. But Jesus showed us his ultimate gentleness by dying for us on the cross. He doesn't do it in anger, bitterness, or disappointment, right? But out of the deepest selfless love that he could show to a people. Right? This should flip our world from an economy of works to an economy of grace. All right, so back to money. And I know we love talking about money. All right, so say we're at Alexander's. You got to pay for the person next to you. All right, but before you left, in the parking lot, on the ground, you found $500. Right? So you like grab it and, you know, it says, there's a note on it that says, this doesn't belong to anyone. Do not put an offering. Take for yourself. Okay? So you take it and you're like, yay, $500. Okay? Would that make paying for the person next to you easier? A little bit. Okay? Some people, you know, got my junior high guys like, oh, I could buy a Nintendo Switch. I don't know if I should pay for the person next to me. right? But $500, right? It makes it a little bit easier. All right, what if it was like a $5,000 bonus at work? Like, whoa, okay. I could pay for the person next to me. Then it would be easy, right? What if that Nigerian prince email that you got and they've actually paid out $5 million? $5 million you just happened to get from this estranged relative in Ethiopia or Nigeria that you never knew you had, right? $5 million, right? Then you'd be thinking, I'd probably pay for the whole church at that point. It's like, no sweat. No sweat. Like, what is this? Like, you know, $3,000 bill, who cares? I just got $5 million. Right? But what if you won that lotto, was that close to a billion? It's like, you win $1 billion. Then it's just like, hey, I'm going to pay for the whole restaurant today. Right? Anyone want to come off the street, get a free meal? It's like, because the way this works is the more money I have, the less restrictive I become in how I use it. Right? I don't care as much, except for like those really selfish, yucky people, okay? But for the general population, right, the more money you have, the more money you receive, like in a gift or whatever, the more freely you're willing to just kind of spread it out on people. Okay, and this is what we need to realize about the grace that we receive through Jesus Christ. Okay, the grace that we receive through Jesus Christ makes us filthy rich in grace, in love, in joy, in kindness. Okay? When we realize the amount of wealth we have through Christ, then when we look at our brothers and sisters that sin against us, let's pay it out. It's okay. I have more grace to give because God keeps giving me more grace. This isn't something that I'm going to use up. It's worth it to me. Okay? You have to get that in your head that God has made you rich. When you find Christ, when you are saved, when you believe in Him, right, then you have wealth beyond your understanding. We don't have to chase after the things of this world. Right? But this, with this understanding, this is what allows us to pull unlike every other religion or organization in the world. This is why our relationship should stick better than everyone else in the world. This is why we should be able to resolve our problems unlike anyone else in the world, because of Christ. All right, so let me just wrap up and pray. All right, two pictures for unity again, the tug of war. All right, one through gentleness, love, a careful watch over ourselves. Okay, gentleness is the attitude which we approach every relationship. Right, and understanding this economy of grace. Okay, every one of you that follows Christ, you're richer than you know. You're more blessed than you can understand. Right, and we need to come to God every day and reach from this pool of grace wealth and spread it out to other people. Right, to the person that cuts you off on the road, right, to your friends in the church, to your mom, to your dad, right? And this is how we live, and this is how we love, and this is how we bring ourselves together under Christ. All right, let's pray together.